We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, the witness of the blood is quite essential to salvation. In 1 John 5, 6, and 8, it is said, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with the water and with the blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three who bear witness, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three agree in one." Obviously, the Spirit is an essential witness to salvation. Salvation is by the blood of Christ. Let me say this to you from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Again, He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. There is no forgiveness of sins without this witness, without the atonement of the blood of Jesus, the Son of God. In Hebrews 9:22, the apostle declared, "Apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission." Salvation is by the blood of Christ, an essential witness to salvation. Some religionists have misinformed the world, however, by declaring that since Christ died and shed His blood for all men will be saved by virtue of the blood without obedience to God's law. We are told that Christ paid the debt with His blood, and the sinner does not owe a debt for his forgiveness. The sinner, therefore, needs no forgiveness, we are told by some teachers. His debt was paid by the blood of Christ, that divine witness. This, my friends, is positively a contradiction to God's law of divine pardon. Universal salvation, so-called, is a doctrine of Satan, not a doctrine of Christ. There is no such thing as universal salvation. That is, all men will be saved because Christ gave His blood for all men. Christ died for all men. But man must appropriate unto himself the blessings of Christ's death in order to be saved from his guilt of sin. Under the old law, and during the days of the patriarchs, God was approached through the blood of animals. But this blood was only typical of the blood of Christ, which was shed for the sins of all men. Atonement by the blood of the animals could only point forward to the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Since the blood was only typical, then remission of sins was only typical. The blood, having been shed once a year, then there was to be a remembrance of the same sins once and over again, year by year. The apostle declared, "It is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins." Hebrews 10, verse 4. A final and complete pardon of the sins committed under the old law was remitted only by the blood of Jesus Christ, the divine witness, if you please. In Hebrews 9:15, it is revealed, "For this cause He is the mediator of a new covenant, that death having taken place for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that they that have been called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." In this statement, it is revealed that only by means of the death and the shedding of the blood of Christ was perfect and complete forgiveness obtained by the people who kept God's law under the Jewish and patriarchal dispensations. The blood of Christ, therefore, is the atonement for all sin, a divine witness. Without the cleansing from sin by the blood of Christ, no man could obtain forgiveness without this witness. The blood of Christ, as stated by the apostle, cleanseth us from all sins. And he declared, "There are three that bear record, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three agree in one." It cannot be eliminated. Since no man can secure forgiveness of sin without the blood of Jesus, we naturally desire to know how man may reach the benefits of the blood of the Son of God and secure to himself the cleansing, purifying power of the blood. We, of course, know that We do not have the material and literal blood of the Lord here on earth to apply to ourselves. Even if the material blood of Jesus were here today, we could not apply it to our immortal souls, our spirits, our hearts. It is the soul of man that must be purified and cleansed from sin, not our bodies or any material feature of man. According to Acts 15:9, the soul of man is purified by means of faith. Listen to these words. And I say, are you listening? And he made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Faith, therefore, is the means of appropriation of the blood of Christ to man's heart. This witness must be accepted by faith. In our text, John declared, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Surely, it must be understood that to walk in the light as he is in the light is to walk by the same rule and manner of life as did our Lord. We must walk as he walked, walked by the same rule. His walk was complete and a perfect revelation of God's will to man. He declared that he came to the world to do his Father's will. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. He explained in John 6 and verse 38. Then, when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we must completely submit ourselves to the will of God. We must walk in his teaching as he walked in them. We must accept his teaching as the complete and perfect divine wisdom and truth, as the only light in this world of darkness to guide man. Our walking in the light is the fundamental condition upon which the cleansing by the blood of Christ rests. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, cleanses us from all sin, the text reveals. We cannot come to the blood without first coming to the light, that is, coming to the will of God revealed through Jesus, his Son. Every man, woman, boy, and girl who refuses to obey the will of God refuses to walk in the light, and by so doing rejects the precious blood of the Son of God. Therefore, is without salvation from sin and has rejected this divine witness of blood. My friends, we must not forget the fact that the apostle declared that it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that bear witness, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three agree in one. The fundamental characteristics of Christ's walk on earth was to keep his Father's commandments and to abide in his Father's love. Read very carefully John chapter 4 and verse 34 and chapter 5 and verse 30 and 15th chapter and verse 10. To claim fellowship with God while refusing to obey the commands of God is to reject this divine witness of the blood, for the three agree in one, the water, the Spirit, and the Word. And to disobey the Word of God is to make one disapproved before God. To claim fellowship with God while refusing to obey the commands of God is to make oneself a liar and to do not the truth. John the Apostle declared in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, not according to God's will, that is, we lie and do not the truth. Now, we can appreciate the quotations already given, that is, the cleansing of our hearts by means of faith. It is the blood that cleanses man's soul from sin. But faith is the means of appropriating the blessings of the blood. As we have seen, the cleansing by the blood depends upon our walking in the light, which is walking in obedience to the Word of God. Faith, by which our hearts are cleansed, comes from hearing the Word of God. In Romans 10:17, the apostle concluded, therefore, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As a result of the Word of God, by faith, we lay hold on the blessings of salvation made possible by this divine witness, the blood of the Son of God. according to the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1:22. Man's soul is purified by his obedience to the truth. He said, "Ye have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth." In Acts 15:9, already quoted, it is stated that the soul is purified or cleansed by faith. But since we have learned that faith comes by hearing the truth, the Word of God, we can fully understand the statement of Peter when he said, "Our hearts are purified by obedience to the truth." In other words, the faith of our hearts must exercise itself by obeying the truth, which brings us to the cleansing blood of the Son of God, where we obtain remission of sins. A man, therefore, is saved by the blood of Christ only by receiving into his heart the commandments of the Lord revealed in the Bible and sealed by the precious blood of the Son of God, by conforming to his death, burial, and resurrection to a new life, and doing service in his blood-sealed institution, the church, with its divine appointment. My friends, surely all must realize that salvation from sin without the blood of Christ is impossible. We must come to the blood to be saved from sin. But question, how and when does one come to the blood where he may obtain forgiveness? The blood of Jesus was shed in his death upon the cross. Without his blood, without the blood, no man could be saved. As we have already learned in this discourse, our cleansing by the blood depends upon our acceptance and obedience by faith to his word. By faith, we obey the commands of Christ, which brings us to the benefits of the atoning blood, this divine witness. Since his blood was shed in his death, we must then come to the death to reach the benefits of the blood. Now listen very carefully, and I say, are you listening? I'm going to read something to you from the Bible, the Word of God. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, friends, did you hear that? The apostle tells us plainly how we come into the death of Christ, where the blood cleanses us from our sins. Listen again. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now that's what your Bible says. Through faith and obedience to the command of the Christ, we're baptized into the death of Christ. His blood was shed in his death. We are baptized into his death. The inspired apostle declared without doubt. We were buried with him by baptism into death, he said. Again, in baptism, he affirmed that we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, ladies and gentlemen, salvation is by the blood of Christ. This divine witness, the record says, the three agree in one, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. We must come to the blood to be saved. His blood was shed in his death. God Almighty declared that we are baptized into his death. Men and women who refuse to be baptized into Jesus Christ refuse the blood of Jesus Christ. Baptism is the only act of faith that brings man into the benefits of the death of Christ, where the blood was shed for you and for me. No wonder did the apostle declare that baptism saves, as you read in 1 Peter chapter 3 and 21, when he said, "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." as a penitent believer. Man is buried with Christ by baptism into the death of Christ. In the death of Christ, the blood of our Lord cleanses us from all sins. Of course, just the act of baptism alone will not put one in Christ, but faith and repentance preceding baptism does put one into Christ, where he obtains remission of sins, where he obtains forgiveness of sins, where he is born again as a child of God. Beloved, once again may I remind you of 1 John 3:8. The water, the blood, and the Spirit are inseparable. He said, there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three agree in one. The Spirit of God, through His holy word, directs all men to be baptized in water into the death of Christ, and there the blood remits our sins. Man cannot be saved by the Spirit alone. He cannot be saved by water alone. He cannot be saved by blood alone. But the Spirit, the water, and the blood agree in one, the apostle declared. They are inseparable. In obedience to the Spirit, we're baptized in water into the death of Jesus, where His blood cleanses us from all sins.